Good afternoon, gamblers.
Tony.
Hey.
This is Bro Bets, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates. You can follow us on Twitter at Bro Bets. You can follow us on the Action app at myaction.app/Bro Bets. It is Monday, June 17th. We begin another week. And I sadly will say that I believe that the Monday after the U.S. Open officially signifies the summer dead period of gambling. But that's okay. We're here for you for baseball.
Yeah.
We will be here for you when the Open returns in a month. We will be here for you. Gore's Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, we're gonna sniff out some winners.
Wimbledon,
yeah.
And we continue our 32 teams in 32 days-ish. And then we got football, and this show really ramps up. So you know what? Just stick with us.
I got two questions before we move on.
Okay.
First. Number one, great. CFL, Canadian Football League. Are we going to go there at all?
I got nothing. I don't like to make a habit out of betting things on this show that I don't know dick about and just throwing things out there willy-nilly for the listeners. And I'm not going to put... I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to invest time in the CFL to know about it.
I believe they have some crazy fucking lines, too.
Like
there's some fucking crazy scoring deficits that occur there.
Oh, I got you.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to stay away. What about you?
No, I mean, I saw it. Now it was on the other night. I really didn't watch it, but then I got thinking about it, and then some people were chirping online about it, like, hey, what's going on with the CFL? And I'm thinking, hey, you know, we got a Canadian up north. I mean, he's watching the games
just
up there.
Just because he lives there. That doesn't mean that he watches
it. Doesn't, does.
I think he hates it. Yeah, he's a big NFL guy.
Talking about
Gump
Gathcart.
Yeah.
He's going to be here this week, so we'll ask him.
Sure.
But no, I don't think the show should get in the business of betting things that are there just because there's there and there's nothing. I mean, cricket's on right now, too, but I don't know dick about cricket.
Yeah. Okay, my second question is, what the hell are you doing?
What do you mean?
What the hell are you doing?
What are we talking about?
Gary Woodland.
Gary fucking Woodland,
he
boys.
He comes out on Wednesday before they tee off.
Gary Woodland, boys.
The 35-year-old journeyman. And yeah, that's what I call him, journeyman. I think he's got two titles in his
correct.
PGA career. The kid from Kansas and digs out of left field. Yeah, I got to throw Gary Woodland in there. Well, it's like
Gary Woodland, he's a ball striker. I mean, yeah, he was 0 for 27 in top 10 in majors before coming. But, I mean, he's had a couple good showings to players.
Give me something, Diggs. Just give me something you built on this one.
He's just a ball striker, and as you've seen at Pebble, not a lot of driver, a lot of put it in the fairway,
yeah.
Smallest greens on tours. Guy's great at greens and regulations.
Never finished in a top 10 in a major in his career.
Well, no. That was before. I mean, he's been the 36-hole leader plenty of times.
All right.
I mean,
that's what you went to.
What?
When you picked him, you talked about how he always leads early.
No, he's a ball striker.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
And then, he's got a shot.
Okay, they all fucking strike balls on that tour, okay? Don't say he's a ball striker,
no.
Okay?
Not
please.
Trust me, there's a lot of people who don't strike balls. I mean, do you see everyone fucking hitting the fairways?
Brent Snedeker's known as a ball striker.
Brent Snedeker's not a fucking ball striker.
I mean, I'm just throwing it in there.
Sneds is a putter. If anything, he's not a fucking ball striker.
Ball striker.
Fucking,
all right.
What do you think? Zach Johnson's a ball striker, too?
Hey, he's got a major.
He struck balls that day
when he won the green jacket.
I'm just saying, Gary's an athlete, former basketball player,
sure
obviously.
Anyway, however you did it, brother, hats off to you. What a great pull, and I'm sure that thing paid.
I mean, for him, the big difference for him this week was obviously that his putting was much better than it normally is, and you saw the scrambling stat. He was first in scrambling, 169th, I believe, usually. But, you know, it was good to see Gary up there, especially with fucking... with Brooks putting pressure on you from behind not to fucking, and then the putt at the end.
And let's be honest, not a lot of guys in our life in 2019 named Gary.
Gary's a dying name.
It is.
Yeah. So, it's an older dying name.
The U.S. Open is just magic.
They did
you
have the.
Know.
It was awesome.
They had the Gary chance going as he was coming up.
That
18.
Course is majestic. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you have to. That the fairway runs out and you have to hit it 240, 250, and you can't just pull out driver on every hole, and you have to recalculate it, and you have to, you know, plan out the course. So I enjoy all of that. I enjoy it. Pebble's great.
Pebble's awesome. They used to have a tree in the middle of 18 fairway.
Still do.
I know, but it's they've moved it.
Yeah.
It was before. It was every time I played there, which is a handful of times.
It's a good,
no, I would dump it literally underneath the tree every drive. Either snap hook it into the drink.
Good for you to get it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that tree. So I'm watching. I love watching that tournament. You guys are talking about those greens. Oh, that'll make you. Oof.
Beautiful, beautiful tournament. I liked it. I liked a nice overcast look all weekend.
No sun.
No sun at all. Not
no sun
one time. There was a trade in the NBA this weekend. Anthony Davis is going to the Lakers. Everyone in this office thinks it automatically means that they're winning a championship. I'm not one of those people.
I don't speak for me, Tony.
Don't you dare speak for
okay,
me.
Okay, then I was wrong. I was super, super drunk when this trade happened. But, I mean,
but you're on the hook for something, brother.
What? What do you mean?
I mean,
oh, no, I got hacked.
I mean, you're on the hook for something.
I'm sure we'll talk about it on the patch show, but I got hacked, so I'm not on the hook for anything. Even if I am on the hook, I still don't think the Lakers. I mean, they got fucking Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, and then there's no one else on the team. Last time I checked, you need more than fucking three guys.
Yeah but they'll fill in with some guys.
Well, let's see what they do.
Before we crown them, let's see what they do.
Yeah, and that's a big if on Kuzma to be the dead-eye shooter from outside. I'm just saying,
true.
Great player.
Very, very, very true.
Yeah, we got some questions. We got a long time to dissect.
If it's those three and then fucking Rondo and Lance Stevenson are starting at the 1 and 2, that's going to be a tough look for your team.
Can they afford Chris Paul?
Yeah, I believe they can.
I have no idea.
I believe they can because, well, LeBron's a max player, and then I don't know what AD's contract looks like going over from – because they were talking about – I don't know if it could be a max player because they were talking about actually, I think it can because they were talking about fucking Kawhi going there.
Jeez.
That was the report this morning, but I got news for you. Kawhi does not want to be on LeBron's team.
Right.
But I'm just saying that alien robot and I see him with no emotions and – I think that he doesn't feel like getting yelled at by LeBron.
So we got LeBron, Kuzma, AD,
I've heard,
Rich Paul, and who else is starting?
I assume we'll go into depth on this on Pat's show.
Yeah,
it's they got some work to do.
Maybe Kemba. I don't know. If Kemba goes there, then I'll change my mind.
Ooh.
Especially in March.
Get the razor out, Tony.
How'd you do on WNBA this week?
Nah, not great. I went 1-3 on Friday night. That was the worst slap that I've had since playing these games at the start of the season. Came back the next night with a split and yesterday with a split. Dude. So I went.
Are the odds makers catching up to you?
They're a little bit. So 1-3, 1-1, 1-1 over the weekend. And I thought, boy, if I could just make some hay this weekend, but I didn't.
I mean, we're still up overall. You're still up. Well, you're still way up overall.
I lost one of them.
173-4 now?
Yeah. No, yeah, you're still looking pretty good.
Lost the one by half a point, boys. That one just burned.
That's a tough one. So speaking of the right side, speaking of best bets, one that you didn't lose by half a point, your best bet was the Liberty +10.
Mm hmm.
What did they lose by?
Well, I don't know.
70? They lost by 30.
And then they turn right around and win the next
night.
Look at
that.
And I'm like, golly.
Classic Liberty. Yep. That's classic Liberty.
That's them.
Also on Best Bets right side, Todd, you started off 0-1. You had the Mets against the Cardinals. They were down 4-2 after 5. That's not on you, though. You're on the right side.
I don't know, dude. This weekend, I got kicked in the fucking dick.
I think
I was 2-6 on Saturday and 2-5
Here's
on
my
Sunday.
Here's my question, though. Saturday and Sundays for the weekends for you boys. So we come in here during the week.
Uh-huh.
We sit down for an hour or two, and we go through all the stats and blah, 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 and everything to make our picks. Do you do the same process on the weekends?
I don't spend nearly as much time.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what? I take just a peripheral glance, and a little, like them, and I got to stop that shit because my stats are fucked right now.
Yep, exactly. Fuck it. On Saturday and Sunday, I'm the same way, too, because most of the time I wake up and I'm hungover, and I'm like, I don't feel like pulling on my computer to go through all the sites that I have pulled up. So
I don't check any splits
or anything. I just pull
up
like one thing on my phone, and I'm like, looks good to me. And then we roll through, and then that's how your weekend stats get fucked up.
Don't follow me on the weekend.
All right, so I and I had White Sox with Giolito is just dominated the Yankees. The kid's insane, Gorms.
So is Aloy.
Who?
Aloy. I can't think of his last name. The big, he's a huge oak tree of a man who hit the ball 500 some odd feet over the weekend for the Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox are starting to
get. What is it? It's not Aloy Alvarez. It's something like that, though.
There was 92 runs scored in the Padres and Rockies.
How about that? We got to remember that,
weekend.
Boys.
Incredible.
Four games, 92 runs. Fucking absurd. And the Padres, for all this year, they haven't been able to hit like dick. I don't know what happened this weekend.
Keep an eye.
All right, so let's get into best bets for today. Gorms and Todd, I'll flip a coin to see who goes first. Let's see here. Gorms, you go first.
Okay, let's go. I am going against Vegas. I do this now and again. and I go against...
You're going against Vegas?
I do, and I go against Todd McComas now and again.
That's an worse idea.
I know, and I think I know where he might be going, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay,
the Astros on the road, hot team overall at the Cincinnati Reds. Cincinnati Reds are minus 120 right now. Wade Miley on the mound, 4.87 ERA, 6-3 overall. But Luis Castillo on the mound the Reds at home, 2.20 ERA. But the Astros boys are, if not the best team in baseball, they are the second best team in baseball. Go ahead and fill in your one however you like. I like the better team to win this ball game this afternoon or early evening in Cincinnati. I am taking the Astros. They are the underdog tonight, and Wade Miley. That's my best bet of the day.
Yeah, there is the theory that anytime you get the Astros as a dog, you just got, you have to fucking take it. I like better than that. I like the under first five under in that game.
First
four
five
and
under.
A half with Castillo on the mound versus Wade Miley. I think it's a pitcher's duel at least through the first five. Plus, they're going to be playing most likely in a light rain the entire fucking
game. Is that
right? So that's going to keep the run total down. I think you're going to see. This is a game is about the pitchers and wet bats.
Was that your best bet?
That is not my best bet.
Okay.
Because I don't want to go against what his best bet is.
You're not though.
Because you're not gonna be able to put both those into the parlay.
Correct. And this is what I was gonna do because not my best bet either, but I am going the Cincinnati Reds first five minus the 120.
Let's go.
Castillo first five, obviously 1.87 ERA at home, 1.5 ERA at night. Houston has cooled off a little bit. The last 30 days versus right-handed pitchers, they're 20th, okay? Wade Miley, you said on the mound, he's got a 4.5 road ERA and a 1.9 home ERA.
Ooh, boy.
They happen to be on the road.
Yes, they are.
Cincinnati is 15th versus left-handed pitching. So I'm going to go Cincy first five. Gorms is going Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
Todd's going under first five.
Under, right.
So I got no fucking idea what to do with a cup of coffee a day parlay.
It's his best bet, though.
It is his best bet.
So I think we got to go with it.
So Todd and I's.
And I don't hate it, by the way. I think. I mean,
they're
if
like
you look,
14-23 at home, Todd, well, Cincy. I mean, they're. They,
and you
know,
look at the bullpens, right? Because Castillo's not going to pitch the entire game. He's going to get you to six. And then after that, might be trouble.
Here's what I can put in the cup of coffee a day.
Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
We can put the Houston Astros in there, okay?
Okay.
And then we could also put the under first five. We can't put my bet in there. We can't put Cincinnati in there. We can't go against it. That's just not how things work.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So that's what we'll do. So Gorms' best bet, Houston Astros, money line, entire game. That's his best bet. Todd, what do you got for your best bet, buddy?
My best bet, the Angels first five money line at Toronto. Edwin Jackson is starting for Toronto, 1-4, 2.22 ERA. He's pitched 12.1 innings at Rogers Center and has allowed 20 hits and 14 earned runs, and six of those hits were dingers. He hates it at home. Look for him to get shelled early. The Astros are in adequate hands with Felix Pena. He's not an earth mover, but 3-1 at night, 4-1 overall with a 4.55 ERA. He's solid, plenty solid to secure the first five inning win here.
Did you say you're going money line or run line there, buddy?
Money line.
Money line, first five, Los Angeles Angels versus Edwin Jackson.
I would take run line, but run line has been biting me in the first five as of late, so I'm going soft here.
Well, the nice thing about going money line here for the first five is you can also, there's a push option
push
in there.
Yeah,
so
there is a push.
Not terrible. My best bet, I'm going Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays first five tonight against the New York Yankees. Tanaka's on the mound. In his last three starts, he's gone six innings in each start, and he's given up four earned runs in each start.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Tanaka's not been great.
That adds up.
The Rays are ninth versus right-hand pitching, which Tanaka is. And then the Tampa Bay Rays have Yonny Chirinos on the mound, and he's got a 2.7 ERA rocking at home. So I'm going with the Rays first five tonight. Looking for another win against the Yankees is my best bet.
I'm going to double stamp that. Tanaka's he's also 0-3 in night games. He doesn't like it at night.
No. His internal clock is still all fucked up.
That's right.
Because when you travel from Japan or wherever, it's I don't know what time it is I don't know what the fuck
it's,
I'm talking
it's
about.
In you don't, the, Tony. He's going backward in time.
Yeah. It fucks with you. You can't time
you
travel.
You step out of a time machine, you need a couple days rest before
good luck.
You take the hill.
Good luck, Gorms. You got something to say about that?
Oh, I do have something to say about that.
Uh-oh, you going the other way.
Would you like it?
Oh, yeah, I'd love it.
Love the Yankees tonight, okay? Love the Yankees at home with Masahiro Tanaka on the mound. You heard the stats on him. Yankees are 5-5 in their last 10. Rays are also 6-4 in their last 10. But here's the difference maker, boys. We have a new bat in the Yankee lineup.
Who's back?
His name is Edwin Encarnacion.
Okay.
Okay? Over the weekend trade, he will be there. They get runs. Yankees may be the best hitting team in baseball. Yes, I said it, L.A. Dodgers, if you're listening. But the Yankees in this matchup, two of the best teams in the American League. I love the pinstripes at home and Masahiro Tanaka. I am taking the Yankees minus 135.
I agree, Gorms. At some point, the Yankees will be the best hitting team in baseball this year. Just not yet.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay. Just not yet.
Not against Chirinos.
All right. My other baseball pick, my last baseball pick. I'm going Braves first five run line. Soroka's on the mound.
Soroka.
I've backed him all year round, all year long. I took him last week. He gave up five runs in the first five. Didn't matter because the Braves scored six against the Pirates. So I'm still going to stick with Soroka with a bounce back. I mean, the guy's got a 1.9 ERA in the season.
How about that?
You got to think he's going to bounce back tonight against the Mets, who are 22nd versus right-handed pitching. Atlanta's 6 versus right-handed pitching, and Wheeler's on the mound for the Mets. He's got a 5.48 road ERA. He's given up 5, 4, and 6 runs in his last 3 road starts. I am going with the Braves' first 5 run line,
Tony.
Minus 120. You boys got any other baseball bets?
No, I had that one as well. I had it at the money line, but I respect the run line. I think it's a good bet. There's no chance here that the Braves lose in the first 5 with him on the mound, in my opinion.
And in your opinion, I appreciate your confidence.
I mean, in my opinion. I mean, cool. He's had 2 starts in his career against the Mets. He's only allowed 1 run.
Yeah,
he
hey,
fucking
how's that, how's
eats
that for you?
Mets for breakfast.
How's that for you, Statty Todd?
Glorious. Love it.
Oh, you got any other baseball bets?
No, I'm done. I got 2. That's all I'm playing tonight, boys. No rain out in my world.
You got any college baseball bets?
You know, I'm toeing the water on this because I don't want – you know, people that are listening to go, oh,
it's a homer pick.
It is a bit of a homer pick, but they've got such a backstory. And the College World Series is about those backstories.
Oh, is it?
It is. And I'm going that College World Series today. The Michigan Wolverines haven't been there since 1984. Todd, you remember it. Barry Larkin playing shortstop back in the day for the Wolverines. But they are back in the College World Series, taking on the always tough Florida State team. I like them this afternoon. They're plus 155. Michigan, it's not a Cinderella team, but sort of they continue their run. It's good value, Diggs. Why are you looking at me like I stole your dog?
I just don't know. You know what doesn't throw 97 with movement?
What?
A backstory, okay?
Okay.
I think backstories are going to win the fucking College World Series.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I said
keep bet on your backstory.
Toe in the water.
Was there any WNBA tonight?
No.
That's a shame.
Not a game.
They take Mondays off, huh?
I think
I feel like they're never on Mondays.
Yeah, it wasn't last Monday, not this Monday. But we'll be back.
WNBA.
We'll be back to get those WNBA picks in.
Does anyone have any Gold Cup or Copa America or Women's World Cup or cricket? Any of those?
I like the U.S. women this Thursday against Sweden. How about that?
Did you guys catch that game at all? Over the weekend?
I saw highlights only.
It was yesterday, I think. Yeah, it was yesterday, and I was at the bar for Father's Day. I don't know who her name is or what her name is, but the Chilean goalkeeper was the greatest goalie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
I just wanted to give her a quick shout out for holding the under down. Yeah, she faced like, I don't know, 400 shots and only gave up 3 goals. 3 or 4. I think it was 3 or 4.
Good for her.
She was incredible.
Yeah, 3-0 victory.
The greatest goalie I've ever seen in my life, to be honest. Okay, so that's gambling for today. Let's do our cup of coffee a day parlay. I have the Tampa Bay Rays plus a half with Todd's backing and Gorman's non-backing.
Ah.
The Atlanta Braves minus the half first 5. Houston Astros for Gorms with Todd's backing, not my backing. Actually, you know what? Game line, I probably would have went Astros, but first 5, I'm sticking with my Reds. You know what I mean?
All right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Todd has the under Reds and Astros first 5, and then has the Angels money line first 5 against Edwin Jackson. Then we got a nice little nice little 5-teamer today. Let's just start the week off. Let's not just fucking jump back in the deep end. We come in here, we do what we're supposed to do, and we make the people money. Nice $5 to win a cool 100.
How about that?
Hey.
That's easy.
Just 5 to win a cool 100.
Yeah.
Can we do that for everybody?
Let's do it.
Something to think about doing for everybody. Also, something to think about doing for us, subscribe, rate, review. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on the 32 teams.
Appreciate that.
32 days-ish. We roll through that today with Gorm's and Todd's team,
hey,
the Indianapolis Colts. Enjoy that, and good luck.
Good luck.
Joining us today on our continued journey of our 32 teams in 32 days-ish NFL preview, we are welcoming Zach Kiefer from the Indy Star.
I like this guy. I do.
Yeah, I know. You recommended
I do. I like this guy. He's stern but fair.
Zach, he always throws me off. Like, I was in the middle of something there, and he just always jumps in.
Stern but fair,
everything.
Zach Kiefer.
That's the goal, right? That's what everyone wants to be described as, stern but fair.
I mean, and also you wrote my favorite article of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, I've read two articles this year, and you by far wrote the best one of the two that I read about Francis. So thank you for writing that. And he's also you're an adjunct professor at IU. Do you care? Does anyone call you professor? Are you the John Clayton of the Indianapolis Colts?
No, they the students do, and it's really awkward. And they call me Mr. Kiefer, which is equally as awkward. So I would rather just like to go by Zach. But Professor works for maybe the duration of this interview. You guys can refer to me that.
Oh,
you don't mind?
Yeah, please. Let's
okay,
go.
Professor, I will start you with the first question, and then I'm pretty much going to turn it over to Todd and Gorman, because Todd is a lifelong Colts fan. Gorman, I guess, worked with the Colts in some capacity.
Don't believe everything you read, Tony.
I think he was a secretary or something like that. Colts over under for the season set by Vegas is at 9.5 wins. How do you feel about that?
Jumping right in with win total.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to be over that, and I can tell you why. They're going to be a lot better team this year. I don't necessarily know that they're going to have a better record than they did last year, but they can go 10-6, the same record they had last year, and be a better team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
sure.
Look, I mean, you guys know this. How many times does a team have everybody back from the year before? It's very, very rare in this league. The Colts not only have that, but they've upgraded at two positions of need. They added a wide receiver in Devin Funchess, who's big, who's long, who will give them something they didn't have last year. If you remember, they were really, really short on wide receiver depth last year.
Behind, absolutely.
Behind Tavai Hilton, it was like, who's going to step up? Dontrell Inman did, but they added Funchess, and they added a guy who's just like straight up scary to look at on the football field. Justin Houston, he spent his career in Kansas City. He's got 78 sacks. He comes in, and you know when you just walk out onto a football field and you just see a guy that's just scary to look at. That's my reaction to seeing Houston the last couple of weeks at OTAs and minicamp. He's going to add some punch that they haven't had in the pass rushing department since really the days of Robert Mathis when he was wrecking offensive line. So I'm taking the over. I think they're going to be a better team. The biggest question that we have yet to answer is, can they hold up against these really, really stud quarterbacks? They didn't see a lot of them last year. I think really the only one they saw was Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. This year they're going to see a ton of them. It starts with Phillip Rivers. They see Matt Ryan early. They see Ben Roethlisberger. And they see Patrick Mahomes, who torched them in the playoffs.
Todd?
Hey, all right. So I'm going to start off with this. Is Eric Ebron a one-year wonder, or are all the Detroit fans completely full of shit? He's the real deal. And I preface that by saying you began with Devin Funchess. I could see him becoming the new red zone target and that limiting what we see from Ebron compared to last year. So just let loose on
it. That's a fair question. The only thing you're forgetting is Frank Reich loves his tight end. Mm-hmm. He loves them. Like you love your firstborn child. I mean, he's going to get Jack Doyle his touches, and he's going to get Eric Ebron his touches. I don't think Ebron has the wow stats that he had last year just because it was almost historic. I mean, he had the most touchdowns by a Colts tight end in history. He broke Dallas Clark's record simply because there's only one football to go around this year. You had Funchess. You had a healthy T.Y. Hilton who wasn't even healthy last year at the end of the year. Remember, he was playing with a high ankle sprain a low ankle sprain. You had Funchess. You had, Jack Doyle back in the fold. And I might be alone in this, but I think Jack Doyle is like the third or fourth best player on this entire team. I just think he's so damn dependable. Your offense is completely different when he's back in there. And this is the other thing that's maybe going to hurt Ebron's touchdown numbers is they're going to be a running team this year, at least more than they have in the past. I mean, this let's be a top five rushing team this year. That's a stated goal that they have said over and over and over this offseason. So believe that. So if you're thinking that maybe I should draft one of the Colts in fantasy this year, like down the line, third or fourth round, maybe Marlon Mack's the guy, because I think he's going to have a big year if he stays healthy.
Hey, Zach, let's talk about this rookie class. If there is another Darius Leonard, and I know that's a big if, but who so far has impressed you as what he's doing on the field and in the classroom?
Whoa, the next Darius Leonard.
Well,
there's not.
Let's slow it
there's
down.
Not. I mean, that guy, I remember the first day of training camp last year, we didn't see him at all, and we didn't see him at all in the summer at all, and we didn't know anything about this guy. And the first day, Andrew Luck underthrows a pass, and this guy wearing number 53 falls backward and makes this ridiculous interception. And I turned to the guy next to me and said, holy crap, this guy might be really good. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't see an NFL high in tackles and defensive rookie of the year season. But the guy I really like is the first pick. He's a second rounder, Rakia mm-hmm. Sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, if your name's Rakia Sin, you've got to be a pretty badass player, right?
Good point.
That's a heck of a name. He's made an interception in every session we've watched this year.
Wow.
Now, granted, we're not out there every day, but this kid has athletic traits and a physical playing style that's going to work at this level. And he's playing a really tough position for rookies. I mean, rookie cornerbacks, that's really tough mm-hmm. because the quarterbacks are better and the receivers are a lot better. But he's got what you see, and he's very polite, and he sounds like Darius Leonard, and he says yes, sir, and no, sir. And I think he gets it. I think that matters. I think that humility is something that's really helped Darius come from where he's come from to become what he is. It's going to be fun to watch 34. That's Rocky Sin's number over the next couple of years. I think he's going to be a tough corner to go up against for a long time in the AFC South.
Zach, you said it earlier. A lot of this team is the same from last year. It doesn't happen very often in the NFL. So who needs to step up this year in your eyes to make a difference, or isn't living up to expectations so far?
Dang, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that in that way.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one.
What do you got?
You asked the question because you wanted to do this.
Well, I kind of want to tee off on him, but I'm not going to. But Malik Hooker.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. And I'll tell you this. Like, he's got crazy talent. We've seen it in flashes. I'm willing to wash away 2018 because he wasn't himself until November or December. That ACL tear, you're just not the same player. And Colts fans need to know this, whether they want to accept it or not. Deion Kane is not going to be Deion Kane until, like, November. And I know it's going to be hard to wait because this dude was insanely talented last year during training camp before he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. And I know he's probably going to be full go when training camp starts, but he's not going to be the same player. So I wouldn't panic if you don't see him making those wow catches that he was making last year.
But you're excited, though. Kiefer, you're excited about that kid. Admit it.
Oh, if you were in Westfield last year, you'd be excited, too. I mean, these were like Sports Center top 10 plays every day for like 2 weeks.
Love it.
More excited about Deion Kane when he's fully back and healthy or Paris Campbell?
Yeah, Paris Campbell in the slot. Hey, I loved Hines there. I'm a big Hines guy, but this guy's different, right?
Yeah, this is a guy I'm going to watch every single day at training camp. They're going to move him around a lot. We've already seen it. We've already seen him run some reverses. I mean, we watched rookie minicamp, and granted, a lot of guys aren't going to play in the league camp early in May, but Campbell was the best player in the field by far. He was running outside, inside. It was very, very clear that 15 was the best player. They're going to move him around, but you should have seen the text message Frank Reich sent after they drafted him. There were a lot of exclamation points, let's just say that. They are excited to have him, I know that.
What about Ben Bannigo? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, where's his position? They're trying to figure that out. They started him as Sam linebacker, but they see too much pass rush right now, so they moved him up to the line. He's doing a smart thing. He's really listening to Justin Houston. He's taking notes. Mm-hmm. He's asking questions. He's stealing moves from Justin Houston. And they just see too much get off from him. And like what the Colts ask their pass rushers to do is just really simple. Just go get the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as complicated as like what Bannigo was doing at TCU, which was read and react. He's got all the traits. They might have overdrafted him a little bit in terms of a lot of pundits' eyes. But if you see some flashes from this guy early in the season, that's a really good sign moving forward. He could be a pass rusher of the future for this team.
Zach, are you concerned at all? We got the Paris Campbells we're talking about. Devin Funchess in particular. that no Andrew Luck because of the calf strain that he had. Is that something that you're looking at as, hey, he needs to get rolling so they can get on, you know, on timing with the quarterback?
Zero concern. Absolutely zero. I feel like after the shoulder surgery, I'm like just like immune to Andrew Luck concerns. After being through that hell for 3 or 4 years,
yep.
And same goes with Mike Wells and Stephen Holder and Mike Chaplin, all the guys who covered it. Luck will be good to go for the first day of camp. They've got 6 weeks of camp. He'll be fine. They've got plenty of balls to throw. And if Devin Funchess can't get on the same page with Luck, then he'll just go to Jack Doyle or just go to Ebron. I mean, that's just how it's going to work. Luck will be really sharp. Jacoby Brissett did not have a good mini camp, at least in my mind.
Huh.
And it's going to be different. It's going to be different when Luck gets in there because every ball is going to be right on the money.
Right.
Is my boy Chaz Kelly going to get the third quarterback spot?
Chad Kelly can wing it.
I know.
Man. I mean, he's got an arm. He can.
That's never
throw
been
it.
His. That's never been his issue.
That's never been the issue. He's got to stay out of trouble this summer, and I think he'll have a good shot. But they do really like Philip Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this straight up: like just watching the football on the field the last month, Chad Kelly has a better arm than Philip Walker. So I could see him earning that third job.
Well, yeah, and then him and Andrew Luck are so similar as humans. Like I could see them getting along really well. You know,
so many similarities, so many hours spent off the field together. I'm sure they'll become best buds.
Andrew Luck, his, I don't know if his leadership gets questioned at sometimes.
Don't
in the
do it, Tony.
Like
don't
that.
You do, don't do it, Tony. Don't question
I'm
his
just saying,
leadership.
Does he have the personality
Jeez,
to be
a Steeler fan? Come on,
to be a leader.
So, are you asking me is he Peyton Manning?
No. I know he's not that, but like. Is he fiery enough, or do you even need to be fiery enough or show enough? I know he's fiery. Like, I see him yell and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. There's just something about
it. As a Colts fan, I find this a very fair question.
No, you're totally fine. I'm with you. And I can tell you what players have told me. I mean, so you go back to Houston last year. They're in week four, and they lose that game in overtime. And Matt Slauson, the veteran guard, comes up to me after the game and says, Luck exploded on us on the sideline. He exploded and ripped into his offensive line. So that's something you don't hear about often, right?
Yeah.
But Luck kind of does this stuff behind the scene.
Okay.
He's not yelling at Donald Brown for missing a block like Peyton Manning was
in that
playoff game. In a week later, they were in New England, and he's walking up and down the sidelines, and he's yelling, we are better than this, while they're getting beat pretty handily by the Patriots.
Oh, those are,
they came
those
back
are
in that
signs,
game.
Then.
They eventually lost. And then you go to the Giants game in week 16. They play flat, sleepless in the first half. They're down to a bad Giants team. And Luck basically took over the halftime speech and just ripped into him. So these are the things you don't hear about a lot. Luck's not going to tell you about it. Frank's not going to tell you about it. But if you ask enough guys in the locker room, there are moments like this where he exudes that sort of quarterback leadership role that I think a lot of people assume quarterbacks have to take on. He's not afraid to rip into his teammates. So I think there's a little bit more of that than people see.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I remember that Giants game because there was a lot of playoff implications for a lot of teams in the AFC that week. And that comeback.
Yeah,
the Colts
and I mean,
made was,
the Colts, if you remember, they didn't come on the field until like a minute was left.
Oh, I remember.
And that's because they were getting ripped into by 12.
Love it.
Well, that's a good sign. Because those are the things that you don't hear about all the time, but are actually very good to hear if you're a Colts fan, I think.
Yeah, and we have absolutely – I wanted to say this, and then I have nothing else for you, but – Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, we have been fortunate enough to be able to fall in love with them because they've talked to Pat so many times. They've been so gracious in giving him time, and it's been wonderful. But I just feel like, and I'm an ex-military guy, I'm like, these are two guys that I always feel like leadership is earned. It's not given, right? And these are two guys that you would charge a hill for just because you don't want to let them down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think they exude that type of leadership quality. And it's like, I don't want to let these guys down. They're just, they care so much about me. They care so much about winning. I will feel bad if I don't play good this week.
Yeah, you're spot on. And it's very unique. I mean, Frank Reich has this quiet confidence that's really hard to put into words, but I can see it. I mean, this guy was, they were 1-5.
Yeah.
And I remember walking sort of out of the locker room with him in New England, and this was an off the record conversation, but he just had this confidence that, like, look, Zach, we're a good football team. we're going to make a couple more plays in these games. We're going to turn this thing around. And that's a guy who's 1-5 as a head coach.
Wow.
And then you saw it happen week after week, and you saw this team buy into him. And so I think the one guy who deserves a lot of credit in this, and I'm not just saying this to say it, but it's Jim Irsay. I mean, Jim Irsay went out, and he hired Chris Ballard.
Happy birthday, brother.
And Ballard said, I'm not taking this job unless I get the time and the patience and the investment I need to get this right. And Ballard knew on day one that he needed to tear down this roster. And you can see the remnants of the previous era. I mean, there's like less than 10 guys left. It's completely remade. They've got so many young players that have been drafted and signed. And then there's moves like yesterday where they re-sign a guy they didn't need to re-sign at this point. There's no reason, if you're a football team, you need to re-sign Kenny Moore yesterday. They could have waited a year or two to get this done. The team had all the control, but it sends a message to the locker room about what they want to be about. And they want to be about guys like Kenny Moore, who are tough as nails, who was an 11th hour waiver claim, who's come in and become the second best player on that defense behind Darius Leonard. That sort of speaks to what they're trying to do here. And I think Chris and Frank are authentic enough, and there's not that many guys in this league that are like that are not full of, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think the players buy into that, and I think the fans are starting to see how rare these guys are.
Zach, give me your expectations on the offensive line this year.
I think the focus is going to be the run game. It's going to be fun to watch. A guy that doesn't get a lot of pub that's fantastic is Glowinski at right guard. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just, like, moves people. And the other guy I think is one of the most underrated players in football is Ryan Kelly. Nelson gets all the highlights. Nelson gets all the love, and he's fantastic. But Ryan Kelly's really, really good at center. And I think Costanzo is probably the most underappreciated Colt of, like, the last 10 years. I mean, fans love to rip him, but he's been fantastic at a really hard position the last two seasons. So I'm excited to watch this group. They are finally sort of they finally have some carryover. Like, it's going to be the same five guys this year as was last year, and that hasn't happened in, like, forever. Mike Chappell can tell you probably the last time that happened. He was probably covering the Peyton Manning years. But it's going to be fun to watch this team because they didn't end well. If you go back to Kansas City, they played pretty poorly in that game. And that left a bad taste in their mouth. And with the new position coach, it's going to be fun to watch that unit improve upon what they did last year because they allowed the fewest sacks in football last year, if you remember.
Fun fact for the Colts, and I'm excited about this, and this will play into it. Fun fact time.
Can't wait.
Tom Rathman, running backs coach of the Colts. He knows a thing or two about winning a Super Bowl and blocking for the great Roger Craig. I'm sorry, but that tickles my fancy.
No one knows any of those people.
1989, 1990, San Francisco 49ers. Come on.
Sorry,
how
Zach.
Young are you,
dude,
pups?
Maybe
Jeff,
rather than a fun
favor,
fact, we
and,
call
and
it
just
a fact.
Google a photo of Tom Rathman playing football. Just Google a photo of him with the 49ers, and it just looks like what a football player should look
neck
like.
Roll, neck roll.
It's those old school, he's got the neck pad up to his helmet. It just looks like a guy you do not want to try and block.
I love it.
Zach, before we let you out of here, we always ask one last question, but this just popped up on my feed. Have you seen the robotic quarterback that the Colts have at the fucking training camp?
Oh, gosh, I forgot about this, but I have, yeah.
It just popped up on my feed. It looks insane.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's throwing out routes.
Yeah,
here.
It throws strikes. It throws strikes, though, man.
I mean, this is a podcast, so there's no video.
Well, that's the only way to simulate Andrew Luck. let's be honest.
if Andrew Luck's calf doesn't work out in camp, this is the next better.
Yeah, well, they signed him as a backup.
All right, so we get everyone out of here on the same question. We make you pick the week one game in June.
I love this. Oh, in L.A.
Oh, yeah. In L.A. Well, it's not even – it's not really – there's no home field advantage for the L.A. Chargers. But the Colts are +3 at the L.A. Chargers. How do you feel about that game?
I might go with the Chargers.
Okay.
Because I think they're really good.
They are.
And, Brell, I realize they're playing in, like, a 16,000-seat soccer stadium that I don't even know the name of.
Yeah.
The Colts are just really bad in openers, and until they change that, I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think I picked the Colts against like 26 of the NFL teams right now, but I think the Chargers are one of the few teams I might pick for that game.
You know what? I respect your honest opinion. Our listeners will respect your honest
opinion. But we're not having him on anymore after that pick. I got news for you. All right. Just so he knows.
Hey, you can call me whatever you want, but you cannot call me a homer.
Fair and stern.
And I got news for you, Zach. Gorms does not make those decisions. So don't worry about that. We appreciate you so much for coming on. Thank you very much. Once again, Zeke Kiefer on Twitter. Check him out at the Indy Star. And good luck this season.
Hey, thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Zach.